Happy New Year, church. It's been a couple days already, but we are into the new year, and we would do well in this new year to do as that video encourages us and turn our eyes to Jesus as we begin this year. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning here in the message. The title of the message this morning is Things That Matter. Let's turn in God's Word, if you would, in your Bibles to the third chapter of Colossians this morning. It is wonderful to have Sam and Issa and Keegan and Parker with us here officially this morning. They've been here before, of course, but I'm sure you're still trying to get boxes kind of situated and unpacked. Hope all that's gone well this week for you. And we're going to be receiving Sam and Issa as members here next Sunday during the worship service, so we look forward to that. It was nice to have Danny Powell here last Sunday when we were gone. Danny's brought messages in other churches here in the community, but this was the first time that he was here at our church to bring a message. And I talked to him a little bit, and he told me that the congregation, he said, could not have been more hospitable and welcoming. So great job on making Danny and his wife feel welcomed here last Sunday. Well, what are your hopes for this new year that's ahead in 2025? I saw a social media post this week that said, or asked questions, and the questions went like this: what do I want my life to look like in 1 year from now? What habits have held me back this past year? What new habits can I commit to in 2025 that will improve my life? How can I manage my time more effectively? And so on. There were more than that. And you know, those are all good questions for us to ask. But sometimes I wonder if we focus too much on worldly things, or maybe too much on ourselves, when we go to making those New Year's resolutions or those, you know, hopes and dreams we have for the new year. Sometimes we, you know, need to ask ourselves the very important question of what really does matter in life. The Bible encourages us to have that kind of reflection in life. And many of its pages have encouragement of that. And Paul is speaking to some of that in these first 10 verses of Colossians chapter 3. So let's read these verses and then let's talk about how we can apply that here in this new year that's ahead of us. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 10. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Renewed in the image of our creator. I love those words. But what does it mean to be renewed in the image of our creator? In the past several years, I have said goodbye for now to both of my parents and some very close pastor friends here in the community. And, you know, while I know this is a part of life, I also realize how these past few years have caused me to to maybe reflect more on some of the things in this life. You know, it's caused me to pay more attention to what really matters and what is important and what is really not that important. So as we begin this new year of 2025, I think it's an important thing for all of us to think about. These things that really do matter in life. Perhaps these verses say it best, especially verse 2, where it says, set your minds on things that are above, things of God, not on earthly things, the things that we tend to set our minds on too often probably. And it seems that Paul is kind of echoing what Moses is saying in Psalm 90 verse 12 when he wrote, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Did you know that Moses wrote a psalm? Only one. Moses wrote Psalm 90. But his advice is to consider the numbered days that we have here on this earth and to live them wisely. Jesus stressed that also in Matthew 7 when he spoke of building our lives on the solid rock of God instead of the shifting sands of this world. So when asking the question about what really matters in life, if you were going around asking different people that question, you might get different answers depending on where you are asking that question and what stage of life that person might be in. For example, if you go up to the Arthur Grade School, you'd probably get some pretty creative answers, I would imagine, at the grade school. If you were at the high school or at the University of Illinois, you might get some answers about their future hopes and dreams that are ahead of them. If you asked a young family with children, the answers might revolve around their children or maybe their careers. If you ask someone in their midlife, they might wonder if they're going to have enough to live on in retirement and what that's going to look like. And if you ask someone at the nursing home, as they reflect on the last years of their life here on earth, we probably would get yet a different answer. Danny had some interesting things to share last Sunday about that, with the time that he goes out there to have devotions and other things with those people out at the home. Many of those people could probably preach this sermon today and have a lot of wisdom for us to think about on the things that really matter in life. But what if you asked a believer and a follower of Jesus that question? Does that change it? Does that change it any? You know, how might it change the answer or the perspective that a Christian might have on life and the things that matter in this life? I guess another question is, should it change the answer? These verses today in Colossians would say yes, it should. It should shape our answer to that question. Or more importantly, it should guide the way that we live our lives. Believers or Christians who are committed to following Jesus should have our minds set on or focused on the things that are above, the eternal things, instead of the temporal, earthly things. It doesn't mean that, you know, we can't work to be successful in this life. It doesn't even mean that we shouldn't plan or, you know, save for retirement or think about our retirement years or think about what's ahead if you're young. What it does mean is that we are to do all of these things that we do here in this life with the realization that our eternal home is in heaven. You know, as Paul says here in these verses, there are some things here in this life that we do need to avoid or put to death, as he says. Things that are not of God, things that are not a part of this new self or this new life that which is renewed in the image of our Creator that he's talking about here. You know, many people in the world try to avoid the word that defines these things, but we all know how the Bible defines them. They are called sin. In verse 5, they are things that belong to our earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Paul says even greed can be idolatry. What else are we to get rid of here? We are renewed in the image of our Creator, but verse 8 says we need to rid ourselves of anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and lying. We don't have time, of course, to go into each one of those this morning, but I think we know they don't represent Jesus. I suppose there's such a thing as righteous anger. You know, there's a righteous anger that we can have sometime, you know, sometimes over things that are wrong or not of God. Perhaps it's okay once in a while to have righteous anger. But most anger in this world is directed at people and destroys relationships. So in most cases, it should be avoided. So those are things that Paul warns us about. But his main point here is about living in a way that shows the world that we have been made alive in Christ Jesus as his people and as his followers. That the things of heaven are far more important to us than the things that we too often focus on in this life. You know, if anything, we need to be thinking about the legacy that we will leave here and not the things that we accumulate here. We'll be leaving those to somebody else in the days ahead anyway. So we are, as we begin this new year and we think about renewal and we think about, you know, starting the new year right, what are the things that matter? There's one that rises to the very top of the list. It is the most important thing in your life. Now, I don't want you to answer out loud, but in your mind, what do you think that one thing, the most important thing, is? It's your salvation in Jesus Christ. Why do the things of this world not matter all that much? It's because we're going to be spending eternity somewhere else. And eternity is much, much longer than the 80 or 100 years, if we're given that much time, that we might spend here in this world. So the most important question in life is, have you received Jesus into your life? And have you proclaimed your belief in him as your Savior? And are you striving to live your life for him? That is number one. That is the most important, the most crucial decision in your entire life. The Bible, the Holy Scriptures, and the Word of Jesus himself are clear that this determines your eternal destiny. So, you know, to kind of put it bluntly, do you want to spend the rest of eternity in heaven or hell? You know, from the way Scripture describes both of those, I can't imagine anyone not wanting to spend eternity in heaven. I don't know how people can go through life and not be concerned about that. And, you know, as I said earlier, as I've reflected on the passing of my parents, some close friends in my life these past couple of years, that's one thing that I've really been thinking about. How can people go through life without considering that or thinking about that or just kind of throwing it off to the side? I have no doubt where they are. the people I referred to. But there are so many people in this world that are consumed with the things of this world that they push aside the things that really matter in life. John 3:16 speaks of God's love for us and that gift of eternal life in Jesus. Romans 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says that salvation is a gift of grace through faith. Salvation is at the top of the list. But you see, this salvation comes through our faith. Our faith is the pillar of hope that we have in Christ. You know, during Christmas time, we talked about the prophecies and the promises that were fulfilled when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We talked about how it was like 600 or so years there between those prophecies and when they actually came to pass. So that time in between is when faith was required of the people. I love that verse in Hebrews 11, verse 1 that says, "Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see." We are told things about heaven, but see, our faith is where we find confidence and assurance of that eternal home. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we live by faith, not by sight. Romans 5, verse 1 proclaims that we are justified by faith and we have peace with God through Jesus. So salvation matters, first and foremost. Our faith matters. And here again, I don't want you to say this out loud, but what else could we add to this list? What else comes to your mind that is important in fostering these and thinking about these things in your life? I think next we should probably add how we are growing and maturing in our salvation, in our faith, in our walk with the Lord. And of course that means God's word. Being in God's word and having a fervent prayer life, those matter. The last couple of Januaries, when we were starting the new year, I encouraged us to make the Bible a central part of our lives in that year ahead. And you know, in the Philippians passage that was read earlier by Addie, that Addie read for us, we heard Paul's prayer for the people that they would grow in love, that they would grow in knowledge, that they would grow in depth and insight. And so why does he think it's important for us to grow in those things? Well, verse 10 tells us. Verse 10 says, "So that you may be able to discern what is best, and so that you may be blameless and pure for the day of Christ, filled with the righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus." So you see, spending time in the Bible, spending time in the scriptures helps us to keep the main things the main thing. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and what? A light unto my path." You want to have light on your path? God's word is where you find it. God's word is where you turn. And then, of course, spending time in prayer along with that study of his word. You know, prayer is what allows us to communicate with God about what the Lord is telling us through the scriptures that we read and study. And then through prayer and listening to the Holy Spirit, we are told how we are to apply those things to our lives. And prayer, of course, also opens the door to that direct relationship that we have with God through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. You know, if we aren't spending some time in prayer, we are missing out on some of the best guidance, counsel, and help there is in changing and molding us to be more like Christ. Colossians 4, verse 2 says that we are to devote ourselves to prayer. Romans 12, verse 12 encourages us to be faithful in prayer. I know this is not breaking news for any of you. You know, we all realize this. But I do think it's something that we need to pay more attention to in this new year that's ahead of us. Because it is so easy to get caught up in the whole busyness of life that we often forget about these things that are really the most important. These are things that are important in our lives individually, but you know, they're also important in our lives together as Christ's church. And that's the next one. The church matters because this is how Jesus wants us to bond together in his name. We are the church because we need each other. We need each other for encouragement, for support, for growth, and to fulfill the great commission to go out and to share the good news of Jesus with a world that so desperately needs it. Does the church always get everything perfect? No. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Because no one is perfect. But we should not abandon the church like many others in our world are doing just because of that imperfection. We're made perfect in Christ, and so we need to be together in the church to be made perfect and be reminded of the grace that Jesus gives to us. Of course, we should always be striving for that perfection of Jesus. But we're here together because we need to help each other as we strive for that, right? I mean, that's a part of being the church. In Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm with them." And Romans 12, verse 4 and 5 speaks of one body in Christ with many members. Ephesians 4, verse 12 talks about the church equipping the believers for ministry and for building each other up. I mean, that's one of the things we do when we come here on Sunday mornings. It's why it's important to be in a Bible study, or not just individually, but with a group of Christians to talk about these things. This morning in Christian Ed, I was blessed by the way people shared and the way people talked about what we were reading in God's Word. I think that's important for us to do. Church matters because if we didn't come together for worship and for Bible study and for fellowship and mission work, we would just be going about life like these, you know, different separate islands. And we wouldn't have any concern, or there wouldn't be support for anyone or anything else. We need each other. And we need the church, because that is where we come together to form that bond as fellow believers and followers of Jesus Christ. I've heard some of you say it before, and you know, I feel the same way about how the church body has helped during, you know, difficult seasons that come in our life. I mean, it matters, and we need to, you know, church matters, and we need to communicate that to our children and to our families, as well as give examples to them of why church is important, you know, that we do come together in this way. I know I've shared it before, but when I was growing up, my parents had us going to church whenever there was something going on at church. So they always say sometimes when the doors are open, we were there, and that was... it's pretty much how it was. It was a first priority for our family. Why did my parents do that? Because it matters. I mean, it's one of those things that is the, you know, these are the things that are most important in our life. The final thing that I want to bring up this morning is our call to service as followers of Jesus. You know, servanthood matters if you are a follower of Jesus. It's pretty obvious. Like I said earlier, when we come up with our New Year's resolutions, they're often focused on ourselves. You know, some of the popular ones are, okay, losing weight, improving ourselves in some way, maybe saving more money or setting goals and so on. And those aren't bad. There's nothing wrong with those. But what about a desire, more of a desire, to serve other people? You know, if we look at the life of Jesus and the example his life shows to us, we see a love for others and a desire to serve others instead of being so worried about ourselves. In 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11, we are called to use our gifts to serve others. John 13 is where Jesus washed the disciples' feet as an example for us to follow. He actually says that. In Mark 9, verse 35, Jesus tells us to be servants of all. So loving our neighbor matters. Serving other people matters. Looking out for the downtrodden matters. Reaching out to the needy matters. Sharing the good news of salvation in Jesus with others, that matters as well. So how can we be better servants in this new year that is ahead of us? I would encourage us to be watching for those opportunities that God puts there in front of us and not just pass on them and think, well, somebody else is going to take care of that. You know, maybe God's calling you or I to take care of that and to do something about it instead of passing on them. So let's in this new year, let's step up and let's show people that we care. There are other things that in life that matter, of course. You know, your family matters, your marriage matters, your children matter, how you live out those relationships, they matter, it matters. And your job and your career matter. I mean, you have to provide for yourself, you have to provide for your family, as well as be able to help other people. And even your hobbies and your interests matter. I think God wants us to enjoy this life that we are given. And sometimes those hobbies and those interests that we have are things that bring us joy and fulfillment. The important thing, of course, is that we keep all of that in perspective. That we set our minds on things above and not on earthly things. And, you know, it doesn't mean that the other things in life are not important. It's just a reminder to us that eternity is still ahead of us. And the things of God should be shaping the life that we have in the here and now. Every January, when we think about these things, I think we consider what changes we're going to make in the year that's ahead of us. And so as we think about those things, I think we also need to remember the grace that Jesus gives to us. Because sometimes we beat ourselves up over the things that we've failed at. And so the grace of Jesus definitely matters. And I love the words of that song that was sung here on Christ the King Sunday back in November that said, "Nothing that you have ever done can change what mercy's done for you." The mercy of Jesus forgives us for what we have done wrong in our past and sets us on a new path that he desires for us. This path of being renewed in the image of our Creator. And of course, Jesus is going to help us with these things if we ask him for his help. To end this morning, I want to share some encouraging words from Pastor Paul David Tripp about change and God's grace. He writes this. He says, "Change doesn't mean that you'll get your wish list of things you think will give you a good life. Change doesn't mean that God will turn the people around you into the people you would like them to be. And change surely doesn't mean that God will exercise his power to make life easier and more pleasurable according to your definition. But you can rest assured that where real change is needed, there is a God of grace who knows just where that change needs to take place and offers you everything you need so that it can happen. Amen to that. My prayer for all of us, including myself in this new year, is that we would really consider what matters in life, both now, in this life, and for all of eternity. And then, of course, ask ourselves what needs to change so that those are the top priorities in my life. And as I said, the good thing is if we turn our eyes toward Jesus, he will help us with this in the days and the months that are ahead of us. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And our sending song this morning will be Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Lord, we come before you this morning and we see this new year that's ahead of us. Lord, for some this past year has been good. For some it's been painful, as we saw in the video. For some it's been hard. It's been different for all of us, I'm sure. But Lord, as we look forward into this new year of 2025, help us to be able to receive what you have for us. Help us to think about the things in life that you want us to focus on, the things that really do matter, and not focus so much on the temporal things of this world that someday will pass away. I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody here who has not received Jesus and received his salvation, that is the first and most important thing. I pray that not another day or hour would go by without them saying a prayer and asking you to come into their life, repenting of their sins, asking you to forgive them, and asking you to bring the new life and the change in their life that you can bring. And Lord, for those of us who maybe just need to refocus and rethink about the year ahead, help us to do the things that we've talked about from Scripture this morning, the things that the Scriptures encourage us to do. And most of all, help us to continue to turn our eyes to Jesus as we need help in all of these things. Lord, we pray a blessing on the food that's been brought today for our fellowship meal. Pray that we would all be able to get home safely in the snow and help us to take our time and be careful. And Lord, I just pray your blessing on each one here this morning, each one watching online as we go through this next week, month, and the year that is ahead of us. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, and all God's people said, Amen.